Next up, WRGY will be speaking with Lisa Laughlin, Executive Director of the United Way for the Tri-Valley Area, about the various programs, how we can help, and what they're doing for our local community. Here's Lisa. We are talking with Lisa Laughlin, Executive Director of the United Way of Tri-Valley Area. I initially was talking with Doug Dunlap a while ago about the 1,000-mile hike he was doing, that he was doing in support of the United Way to help people contributing to the United Way, as well as to get outdoors and get healthy. And as I talked with him, I noticed to myself, I said, wow, I've been working in social work, not anymore, but at the time, I was working in social work for 20, 25 years. And I had my ideas of what United Way did because I had a particular population that was being served with certain programs that United Way had. But I didn't really get a full idea of all the programs that you folks are putting on, as well as Doug was pointing out some of the things that are being done in response to the COVID pandemic, as well as, and I had no clue about this, some of the programs that you're putting on recently up in this area, which are of benefit to our listeners. So it seemed to be a good idea to give you a call and talk with Lisa Laughlin about all the different programs that we are able to receive here and benefit from, thanks to the contributions from our people to you people that comes back to our people. So there
we
are.
That's right. All right. Well, Ernie, thank you very much for giving me a few minutes to talk about United Way. United Way's mission is to improve people's lives and build a strong and healthy community. And we do that in a variety of different ways. And we've been doing that in Franklin County, as well as in northern Androscoggin communities of Livermore and Livermore Falls. That's our service area, since 1981. And I am so proud to be affiliated with this organization, which is one of nine United Ways in Maine. And we are doing some really innovative programming. We are locally governed by a 16-person board of directors. We are delighted to be bringing on in the future a board member from the Rangeley area, because we are definitely wanting to reach northern Franklin County, as we are based in Farmington, but serving the entire area. So a couple of things that we are doing in northern Franklin County, and by doing, I mean either supporting through our fundraising efforts or coordinating ourselves, either programs or initiatives. So a couple of organizations that we're supporting through our fundraising efforts, they apply for funds through United Way, and those include United Methodist Economic Ministry. They've received funding from United Way and have been a valued, what we call, community partner for as long as I can remember, years and years and years. And last year, 500 people in the Salem region were provided food and fuel and clothing or housing rehabilitation thanks to United Way's support. United Way also provided recently $3,000 in funding to the Rangeley Lake School Student Assistance Team. That was a result of funding that we have available and continue to have through our Very Basics Fund. We've raised money since the pandemic to address basic needs and have given out over $50,000 to over 20 organizations that have applied for those funds. And hopefully you and I will circle back on the Very Basic Fund after a few minutes. So the Franklin County Children's Task Force is also a United Way community partner, and they've recently opened an office in Rangeley. And we're really excited about the support we've given to the task force over the years to do a lot of child abuse prevention, education in the schools, support their clothing exchange program. And I love the fact that they are now doing even more within the Rangeley region. And we've just also, twice this year, funded a pack-a-snack program through the Stratton Eustis Lions Club. And we were, you know, sort of planting seeds through another program that youth participated in to have students get civically engaged and learn leadership and address some community problems. And one of the problems they came up with was how to address hunger in our schools. and they started a pack a snack program, which then went to Kingfield Elementary School because one of the students who participated in our summer experience program was going to that school, got support from the Lions Club. Lions Club said, hey, we want to keep doing this. So they came back to us looking for support, and now the cycle continues with helping feed people in the Stratton-Eustis area. Those are just a few of the programs that we're funding. I'd love to talk a little bit about our initiatives that we're running.
That would be great.
So we're really excited about an opportunity to reach older adults through an outreach program. And we sort of flipped a typical scenario where we are providing support to nonprofits in the region to run programs because of some CARES Act funding, Seniors Plus, which we have supported for years for their Meals on Wheels program. Seniors Plus has some funding that we applied for, which allows us now to continue our work with the Western Maine Cash Coalition. Cash stands for Creating Assets, Savings, and Hope. A lot of folks know it as our free tax program. And even though the federal tax deadline was extended, and we ran our tax site program for a little bit longer, we actually now are not tying to the federal deadline of taxes, which has now passed, but we are going out in the community all year and talking about the property tax fairness credit and Maine sales tax fairness credit. Basically, a lot of seniors, they don't have a federal obligation to file because they have no taxable income, but they're entitled to credit, which they wouldn't get if they didn't file their taxes. And in the last couple of weeks, we have just done 10 senior credits for the property tax fairness credit and returned to those 10 seniors $3,900.
Wow.
One senior receives $1,200. So this is really valuable money at this time back in seniors' pockets through this outreach that we're doing. And we are intentionally going to Phillips, Rangeley, Livermore, and Stratton. So really excited about the property tax fairness credit and Maine sales tax fairness credit outreach work that we're doing. So if any seniors are listening, they should pay attention to the media and know when we're going to be up there because we're still working on a date. But they can also, if they're coming to the Farmington area, call us and stop by our office and talk with Nicole in our office about that program.
Well, that's one of the fascinating things I wanted to point out about the United Way. Is that, I, like I said before, I had worked in social work for a number of years, and what was the hardest thing to do was to keep up with different regulations, who qualifies, who no longer qualifies, who now qualifies that didn't qualify before. And you folks have been always on top of that and you know, able to say, hey, you know, there's a bunch of people who don't even know that they qualify for something. How do we get them informed and to bring them into the situation where they can benefit from something that they didn't even know they could benefit from?
That's right. And another example of that, Ernie, is our Community Energy Challenge. And the Community Energy Challenge has just celebrated its 10th year. In 2008, when the energy crisis was really hitting and oil was at $4 a barrel, and I had just started my work here at United Way, I got a few folks together to say, okay, what are we going to do? And at the same time, there was a Keep Maine Warm initiative and a lot of energy conservation work going on. And we found some key volunteers who were still involved with the program, Amy and Dan Palmer. And that program involves individuals who qualify for energy assistance programs, or LIHEAP, can get free custom-made window inserts. Goes on the inside of their home. They're not storm windows for the outside. They are wooden frames with double layers of plastic on them. And as I said, they're all custom made, fit right in snugly into your windows, and you can get up to six of those for free. And the annual heating costs are reduced significantly, and people stay a lot warmer. We've done thousands of these window inserts now over the last 10 years. And a lot of people are still hearing about this program for the very first time.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And we want to spread that word that we are taking applications now. And if you have the means to actually pay for the windows, we are gladly also putting folks on a list to pay for the windows at a very low cost, $1.50 a linear foot, and you can recoup that per window in one heating season. So Community Energy Challenge, a great program we're doing.
And I understand you have people who basically volunteer to make these window frames.
It's 100% volunteer, absolutely. And we have three key volunteers who will actually go into the homes and measure. But we have about 20 people on any given Saturday, September, October, and part of November who are typically where we're housed is the basement of Henderson Memorial Baptist Church in Farmington. They've been a great partner with us, giving us that space, and it's a great way to engage university students as well because they're right across the street and can walk there. So, yes, we have homeowners, renters, who all qualify for the program, who come and help as well, and it's a real mix of people. There's always a potluck as well. We believe in bringing people together to socialize as well as to help others, and it's been a wonderful success. Another program that's been extremely successful has been our backpack program called Packs for Progress and our teacher tote program. And we're in the midst of that. So I've got backpacks and crayons and hygiene products and underwear all over this place because we're ready to provide our goal this year is 700 backpacks and 17 teacher totes stuffed with all sorts of supplies, including some newly requested ones to respond to potential remote learning opportunities. And children's books and so forth. So that program has evolved and grown. First year we did it was about 50 backpacks, and now we're over 700. So anybody can call from any school within our service area. So that would include Rangeley School. And we do a very quick questionnaire, but we also have that online at our website, which is UWTVA.org. That's the acronym for our organization, United Way Tri-Valley Area.org. So lots of stuff I'm talking about is on our website, lots of applications. Our Hope Fund application, which is open to youth 17 and under, is an awesome program that you have to know about, too. We're so proud of this. It's now just over a three-year-old program that started knowing that the way we fund is typically towards nonprofits, and we have an application process. In this case, we had a lot of people who were requesting individual assistance, particularly youth who couldn't afford to go to a summer camp or buy sporting equipment to participate. And so the Hope Fund was started to raise those youth aspirations and get them resources to do these amazing things. And we have, to date, given out over, I think we're close to $30,000, if not more, because we've just had a meeting on Thursday, to over 250 youth to do great things.
And that's in 3 years?
That's in 3 years, 2.5 years, actually. We're still halfway through 2020. So, yes, it's been wildly successful. Because of the pandemic, we've changed a little bit of the criteria. The committee has, you know, went from just one or two applications in the early spring, knowing that summer camps were closing and so forth. So we've expanded what is being funded and are doing, like, at-home STEM kits, science, technology, engineering, and math. More art and things that still engage kids but may not be with other people at a camp, for example.
Now, you had mentioned something I should loop back to, that I grant applications or something. I can't remember what it was.
Yes. Yeah, the very basics fund. So we had a budget for assisting with food, fuel, and shelter at the beginning of this fiscal year, 2020, and we're going on our merry way, thinking how we were going to be distributing that based on applications when the coronavirus hit. And we channeled people's generosity to give to our very basic fund, and more could be done to address the impacts of the pandemic. And we've raised over $100,000 now in that fund, which had a modest amount in it to begin with. It grew, and we have now distributed, as I mentioned, half of those funds into the community and are looking to do more around food, fuel, and shelter, but also technology, which we are becoming very aware is a very basic need in our communities as we learn and work and even recreate using virtual means, right? I guess I'm asking, I wanted you to loop back because I'm encouraging nonprofits, and that includes municipalities, schools, faith-based organizations, as well as the more familiar 501c3 organizations that we work with, to apply to the very basic fund. And it's up to $5,000 for support. And on our website is a list of organizations that we have supported to date.
Yeah, I mean, to go back to the issues of the internet and all that, I mean, that's where you see the greatest inequities in terms of access to things that are quite necessary these days. And I think it's, you know, incredible that you folks are working on that. It's something that really would help a lot of us in the rural communities that are still having a hard time just getting basic internet. So,
You know, good ideas are born from communities, and I would love to hear initiatives that a group of people who band together with a nonprofit would want to do. We just funded, for example, the Tuesday Night Supper Club, which is in a weekly feeding program. We have funded the Zoom, HIPAA-compliant Zoom membership for sexual assault prevention and response services to continue having access to confidential ways to communicate. All over the map, what we've done, it's really exciting. We've got lots of information available about our very basic fund. One of the things I wanted to touch on before we run out of time, though, Ernie, is really the core of our programming and funding goes to our community partners. And we fund currently 18 partners, ranging from the Children's Center, which works with behavioral and cognitively impaired youth, Community Dental, Healthy Community Coalition, so the mobile health unit can go out on the road and do health screenings and education and prevention. They go to Rangeley all the time. We do fund Western Maine Transportation Services, Rural Community Action Ministry, Literacy Volunteers, and the list goes on. So I can't stress enough how every dollar counts and goes to programs that are just doing amazing things throughout our region. And we've been doing it a long time and trying to be responsive to current needs as they evolve, whether it's a pandemic or substance use, things that occur in our community over time. And I did want to mention something that has been an issue in our communities for a long time that we are getting folks together to hopefully address, and that's transportation.
Yes.
You mentioned. We are working with Franklin Community Health Network and Community Concept, Western Maine Transportation Services, Kennebec Valley Community Action Program, and Greater Franklin Development Council, and others, to convene a conversation. And unfortunately, it was going to be an in-person conversation, but we've had to move that to virtual. It is going to be on October 8th, and it will be starting at 4 o'clock and ending at 5:30. And we will have information on our website shortly about how to access that Zoom link and be part of the conversation. I think it would be wonderful to have more input from the Rangeley region because transportation is such a issue the further north you go.
Yep, it's highly critical. So the wonderful thing about United Way is the fact that when we send money to you to give to you, that money does come right back to the community in terms of we're helping you help us, which is the interesting part about it. We don't necessarily know what the needs are out there. You folks have a much clearer idea of, you've been doing this for years. You know where the needs are. You know where this particular organization could use this one could use that. And for those of us who don't want to try and pick and choose who to support, it's so much easier to say, here's some money. You folks know where it should go. Please let that happen, and you do. And I would like to know how people can most easily or comfortably donate to you folks, and also learn everything that you folks are doing. And really critical that people get to know all the things you do.
Well, thank you, Ernie. And I would say there's several ways, depending on how tech savvy you are, or interested in learning more as well. Definitely get on our Facebook page. We use social media and Instagram all the time to get words out. We do daily posts. We have an e-newsletter, which goes out monthly. We would love to have people get our newsletter and read it. We also have our active website. We also love phone calls. You can tell, yes. I kind of like to talk. I'd be happy to talk with anybody of your listeners who wants to know more about our organization and how they can get involved. I'd also say just simply come to an event. Mm-hmm. We have our color run coming up on August 29th. And August 29th at the Narrow Gauge Cinema parking lot in Farmington, you can run or walk or use a stroller and get some color sprayed on you and have some socially distanced opportunity to exercise and support the community. So we do an awful lot of events to build our visibility and give us a chance to talk more about what we do and to raise money to do this good work too. So August 29th, if folks can mark on their calendar to come run in the color run.
Terrific.
That would be a wonderful way to get engaged.
And what is your phone number as far as if people are more comfortable talking to people on the phone?
Sure. 778-5048.
Well, Lisa, it's been wonderful talking with you. It's been a long time, and mm-hmm. I'm always constantly amazed at how much you folks are doing. And I hope that that more frequently when you folks say, you know, we really should let the people up north know a few things, give us a call. We'd be more than happy to talk with you and try and keep up with all that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Ernie. I really appreciate that because we certainly want to serve that region, and I think we're the best-kept secret, and we shouldn't be, right?
yeah, and it is. You folks are doing such valuable work in the area of getting ahead of the problem and coming up with solutions. And I just am constantly amazed at how much you're proactive on things that people should be concerned about and getting ahead of it as much as you can. And it's very, very wonderful that you folks are out there and that we have a resource that we can say we're going to give to these people and we know where the money's going. So.
That's right. You can be sure that every process that we use to distribute that money is, you know, a really fine-tuned one. We vet the organizations very well, and it's all community members who are making those decisions. So that's an important distinction for United Way and how money gets to the right place. It's because the right people are making those decisions.
Yep, very much so. Yeah.
And I'd love to come up to the Rangeley region at any time if there's a civic organization or anybody wants to hear from either myself or any of my staff. We would gladly come and share more about what we do.
Thank you, Lisa.
All righty. Thank you, Ernie. You take care.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, Lisa. That was Lisa Laughlin, Executive Director of the United Way for the Tri-Valley area, bringing us up to date on local programs available in our area. Thanks again, Lisa.